evening. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, West Seattle. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 3. Now, last week we finished the book of Romans, which I thoroughly enjoyed that study. Romans is one of the best books of the Bible to not only study, but to teach as well. So it's a real blessing for me as a Bible teacher to do that. And I want to take this Sunday to talk about current events in Bible prophecy. From all indications, we are rapidly coming to the time of the rapture, followed by the tribulation, followed by the return of Jesus Christ. So what does the Bible say our world will be like before Christ returns, before the rapture and all these things that are coming up? Let's find out. So if you're not there yet, turn to Matthew chapter 24 and we'll begin in verse 3. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we study your word today, you would give us both wisdom and insight as well as application. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" So Jesus had just finished telling them that this beautiful temple that they were admiring was going to be completely destroyed, that one stone was going to be left upon another. So they're up on this Mount of Olives, which is across the Kidron Valley from the Temple Mount. So they're actually able to look right down on the beautiful Temple Mount there, and as Jesus is telling them of this. And so the disciples are really asking them three things. When is the temple going to be destroyed? What will be the sign of your coming or your return? And what will be the signs of the end of the age? And verse 4, Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows," or other translations say, "all these are the beginnings of birth pains." I like that translation better. So we're going to have, as we see there in verse 5, imposters that are going to come saying that they're the Messiah. This, of course, happened not only during Jesus' time, but all the way through history. Even today, there are people who claim to be Jesus Christ, and you always get a few folks that will follow them, even though Jesus says, don't be deceived. Well, people get deceived all the time. As one person said, a sucker is born every minute. And then we also hear about Jesus talking about wars and rumors of wars there in verse 6, as well as nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdoms, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. And all these things we've had, even nations against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. Let's think about it. World War II was nations against nations. That's what the Allies versus the Axis powers were all about. And World War I was more kingdoms against kingdoms. In fact, that kind of war ended the age of kingdoms. And we continue even today to have wars and rumors of wars going on right now. We've got Ukraine, we've got what's going on in Israel, and just a host of other skirmishes around the world. In verse 8, Jesus said, "These are the beginning of sorrows or birth pains." And as we discussed before, when a woman goes into labor, her contractions begin kind of mild, and then as they go further on, they get more intense and they get closer together. And that's what we've been seeing happening over the past 20 years, is these birth pains, these world events are getting not only more intense, but they're getting closer together. We're seeing them all the time. Seems like every week there's something new that's going on. In verse 11, it says, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." And of course, we're seeing this more and more as pastors and Bible teachers are teaching false doctrine. And sadly, many Christians are listening to them. There's one guy, Rob Bell, who says there is no hell. Kind of rhymes. Rob Bell says there's no hell. Well, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And you get people that are talking about that, or the big thing with gay celibate theology that's going on now and infecting some really good once Bible teaching churches. And as we see in verse 12, it says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Lawlessness, which is both lawlessness to the laws of God and lawlessness to civil laws, have increased. I mean, people think the Ten Commandments are just a joke. I remember when I was younger in my pagan days, I remember this person said, aren't laws meant to be broken? I mean, that was the attitude. That was in the 70s for the most part, in early 80s. I didn't get saved till 1984. I was about 26 years old at the time, and I was very deep into the, indulging the sin nature, you might say. But not only are God's laws being broken, but civil laws. I mean, people just break laws like crazy, like it's no big deal. And love that people should have for one another has grown cold. Murder and disregard for life is just commonplace. Like yesterday, this drunken man drove his car into a nail salon, killing 4 people and injuring 9. This was in Long Island. And it's just sad that people have such a disregard for life. Or the 2 illegal aliens that were in our country callously raped and murdered this 13-year-old girl in Texas. Horrible stuff, and it seems to go on all the time. Murder, rape, theft is now commonplace in America. And the way people drive again, you just watch them. You're going on the freeway and they're just zipping in and out. And you're thinking, don't you realize you're putting people's lives in danger with the way you drive? Oh, who cares? I might get there 5 seconds faster. Come on. But not to mention, we here in America kill over 1 million babies every year through abortion. According to NPR, National Public Radio, in 2023, 1,026,690 abortions were performed. That's 85,557 per month, which equates to 2,812 abortions every day in America, 365 days, 7 days a week. So an abortion here, the vast majority of which are just because of the inconvenience of the baby. I'm not ready to have a child. I'm having sex, but I'm not ready to have a child. So abort the baby. And that is one of the coldest acts a mother can do, is to kill their child. You know, there's been some research done that shows that the cells from the mother, or the cells from the child, actually go into the heart of the mother and are detectable there even when she's older. I mean, it becomes a permanent part of the mother. And so you can see why so many, especially women, can be so rabidly pro-abortion, especially if they've had abortions, because they're part of their heart has been destroyed, and only Jesus can heal that heart. So if you had an abortion, know that God is willing to forgive you. Know that Jesus Christ died on a cross for that sin of abortion, and He's willing to forgive you. He's willing to heal your heart if you'll come to Him. So there's hope for you to have had abortions, to receive that forgiveness and that healing that only Jesus Christ can bring. So go to Jesus. Just go right to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my life, and He'll begin that healing process. He loves you. He wants to restore you. As we move on to verse 36, I know I'm skipping down here, Matthew 24. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then 2 men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. 2 women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, again, I've skipped down a few scriptures here because I believe they deal a lot with during the tribulation period. But once the tribulation begins with the signing of the agreement between the Antichrist and Israel, talked about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the seven-year clock starts to the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. So we know that time. We can calculate that time when the signing happens, Jesus returns. But what's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about the rapture. See, Jesus first returns for his church. And that's what we see in verse 40 and verse 41. One will be taken and the other left, as well as verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's talking here about when Jesus comes and catches up his church, the believers in Jesus Christ, to meet him in the air and so be with him forever. And we're given signs here, such as the sign of Noah, and in Luke's account, the sign of Lot. We're going to get into later in the study. But let's look at some of the things that we're seeing in our world today. Now, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Joe Featon covered our world in regard to Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 12. It's posted on our website. I encourage you all to listen to it. Did a masterful job. But let's begin by looking at Israel. Anti-Semitism, that means, you know, the hatred of the Jewish people, has been on the increase, especially since Israel was brutally attacked on October 7th, 2023, when over 1,200 Jews were brutally, horribly killed. Women were raped and then killed. Babies were beheaded. Some were put in ovens while their parents were held at gunpoint, and then they killed them. And then they also took 250 people, men, women, and children, hostage, using them for both human shields and bargaining chips. Now, according to U.S. intelligence estimates, based on the information supplied by Israel, only about 50 hostages of those 251 are still alive. 66 are believed to be dead, 25 more than other that were assumed in earlier estimates. In total, out of about 116 of the 251 hostages seized by those Palestinian terrorists remain captive in Gaza, both dead and alive. They're still holding on to their bodies, which also includes 8 Americans, 3 of whom have already been declared dead by Israel. But since October 7th, there has been an outbreak of anti-Semitism, hatred for the Jews, hatred for Israel in both America and Europe. There have been major anti-Semitic demonstrations, pro-Palestinian demonstrations on a lot of college campuses, including our good old University of Washington right here in Seattle. In fact, they had one demonstration that was here in Seattle that blocked Interstate 5 on January 6th on a Saturday, totally backed up traffic for miles. And very little happens to the people that do this stuff. They're all calling for an end of the nation of Israel, an extermination of the Jewish people. Remember that little chant they like to say, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Well, it's funny, some reporters actually went down and asked them what river they're talking about. Well, I don't know, maybe the Nile River, wrong. Or what sea are you talking about? Maybe the Atlantic, wrong. No, talking about the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. But what lies between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea? Israel. So for Palestine to be free and have the entire area, it means Israel's got to go. And that's what they want. According to a news source in Politico, it says that several groups involved in pro-Palestinian protests are backed and funded by Susan and Nick Pritzker, who are the heirs of the Hyatt Hotel Empire. And they give both to the Biden election campaign as well as Democratic campaigns. And now some of the money was also tied to George Soros and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Both those groups, I guess, have withdrawn giving money that supports pro-Palestinian causes. Good for them. But you got to ask, why is there so much anti-Semitism? Why is there so much hatred of the Jews? And why does it seem so ubiquitous, meaning it's found everywhere, it seems like America, Europe, all over the place? It's because it's demonic. It's demonic. The devil hates the Jewish people, and he wants to wipe them out so God cannot fulfill his many promises to them. Remember, during the, or I should say after the tribulation period, all the remaining Jews will be saved. Now, according to Zechariah, about two-thirds of the Jewish people will be killed during the tribulation, but one-third will survive, and they will all be saved. That's where it says in Romans, all Israel will be saved. And God has an amazing plan for Israel. And during the millennium, which is when Jesus Christ will rule and reign over the earth for 1,000 years, he will be headquartered in Jerusalem. And it's going to be the land that's going to go from the Mediterranean all the way to the Euphrates River. So Jesus is going to be able to chant, from the river to the sea, all Israel is going to be for me. Because all the land that God promised to Israel is going to be theirs during that period of time. But the devil doesn't want that. And so if he can destroy the Jewish people, then that won't be brought about. It's interesting when you look at the population difference between the Arabs and the Jews. Both Arabs and Jews come from the same progenitor, meaning, person that brought them about, Abraham. And they were brought about by approximately about the same time, maybe about a 14 or so year difference. The Arabs came through Ishmael, and the Jews came through Isaac. And according to the website Statista, the Arab population in 2022 was about 465 million people. 465 million Arabs. Okay? Compare that to the Jewish population, which is only about 16 million. That's a 29-to-1 ratio of Arabs to Jews. So why so many Arabs compared to Jews? Well, because of the intense hatred of the Jews throughout history. From the persecution of the Jews by the Roman Catholic Church and their influence through the Crusades, all the way through the Middle Ages, you know, they blamed at first the bubonic plague on the Jews and went to the Jewish villages and wiped them out. Then we also had the pogroms of Tsarist Russia. And then, we have the Holocaust in Nazi Germany. And they killed 6 million Jews, but they could have killed a whole lot more had we not been able to get in there and stop it and to stop Nazi Germany from... But they had a systematic layout, a mechanized layout that could have killed 30 million Jews a year. They could have wiped out the whole population of the Jewish people. And of course, now we have the Holocaust of Hezbollah and Hamas and Iran, which has this hatred of the Jews and would love to wipe them out. Again, look at the comparison. 465 million Arabs compared to 16 million Jews. It's interesting that Benjamin Netanyahu, who was the prime minister of Israel, said, if the Arabs lay down their arms, there will be no more war. But if Israel lays down its weapons, there will be no more Israel. So true. It's not the Jews that are aggressing against the Arabs. No, they want peace. They do everything they can to get peace. It's the Arabs and mainly these radical groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, funded by Iran, because Iran backs them. In fact, Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis in Yemen, who are also shooting missiles against the ships and rockets against the ships that are coming into the Red Sea and the Suez Canal to try to screw up world trade and also anything getting to Israel, they're funded by Iran. Iran provides the funding and the weapons so they can fight the Jews without being directly involved. That's what proxies do. And their support has expanded greatly under the Biden administration due to their allowance of Iranian oil sales. Under the Trump administration, they were almost bankrupt. Their foreign currency reserves were down to about $12 billion, which isn't very much for a country. In 2023, their foreign currency reserves were about $133 billion. That's the difference between the Trump administration, who would not allow Iranian oil to be sold on the market and basically told countries, if you buy Iranian oil, you can't buy from us. Told that to China and Russia and all these countries that are now buying that Iranian oil. But it's given them the money to be able to fund Hamas and Hezbollah. Hamas is, of course, in the south. They're the ones that attacked Israel on October 7th. And then Hezbollah's in the north, and they are also bent like Hamas on destroying the Jewish people. According to a Tel Aviv University study, Hezbollah has about 40,000 short-range rockets that go up to about 40 kilometers that are pointed at Israel, ready to go after Israel. They also have 80,000, get this, 80,000 long-range rockets that can go 100 kilometers. It's also reported that they have some unknown quantity of rockets that can reach up to 200 to 300 kilometers, which makes them capable of hitting almost anywhere in Israel. I mean, do you add those numbers up? Just the short and long range rockets is 120,000 rockets that they could fire into Israel. That's just insane. Now, it's also interesting. So we not only do we have Iran, who's supporting Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis, but we also have the United Nations that's been against Israel for a long time. Israel has been sanctioned by the UN more than any other nation, including China and North Korea, where all kinds of stuff is happening. All kinds of human rights violations are going on. In 2022, there are 15 resolutions alone criticizing Israel, more than all the other countries combined. And since 2015, 140, get that, 140 resolutions have been passed by the General Assembly criticizing Israel. And in 2013, 45 resolutions were passed by the UN Human Rights Council, which is more than half of all the country-specific resolutions passed by the council. So those 45 are more than half of all of them passed into any other nation, all combined. So the UN is against Israel. And then, of course, when we look at some of the things going on in world politics, geopolitical, these, again, are pointing to the return of Jesus. You know, the persecution of the Jews, the hatred of the nation of Israel. Europe, thankfully, is starting to go more conservative. Many people are realizing that the liberal climate agenda and their policies aren't working. They're paying astronomical high prices for energy, and they can't afford it. Not to mention, they're trying to, in the UK, they tried to take away their teapots, basically, their electric teapots. That didn't go away over very well. They refused to do it. Good job for the Brits there. But China also, who's a big player in the last days, they're growing more and more desperate as their economy is in shambles, and they're constantly looking at the what they call the reunification of Taiwan and becoming, basically they're taking over Taiwan. Taiwan was established after World War II, where Chiang Kai-shek took a number of the mainlanders and went over to Taiwan, established the nation of Taiwan so that they wouldn't be dominated by the Communist Party under, Mao Zedong. And this attack, though, of China, they've had their eyes set on Taiwan for a long time. Now they have such a powerful army that and military, not just army, military, that an attack can happen pretty much at any time. And especially if it looks like as things get worse over there, a war always brings the people together, which they may well be counting on. So that's one of the things. We got a couple things that are going on in geopolitical arena here. But also we have Russia and Turkey and Iran that have formed very strong alliances, and they continue to strengthen those alliances. And these are three nations that are a major part of the attack on Israel prophesied in Ezekiel 38. So that's going to take place. We don't know if it's going to happen before the rapture happens or after. That's just one of those things we don't know. But Russia and Iran and Turkey made some strong alliances. And of course, Russia continues its invasion of Ukraine and so forth like that. Now, this other thing that's going on is the climate agenda, another thing that's going on. And it's more than just trying to get our carbon footprint down and the effects of climate change. It's trying to get control of the people, control of the resources, control of the energies. And that's really the big game here is world domination, world control. And more and more countries are buying into this climate agenda, agreeing that we're in a climate crisis. And you hear that all the time. In fact, you'll hear President Biden say we're in an existential crisis, climate crisis, and he'll sign all these different legislation to get rid of gas stoves or all this other stuff. And he actually it scaled back the ability to get natural gas exports and so forth like that, which is one of the cleanest burning of all the fossil fuels. But they want to get rid of all the fossil fuels totally and only go on green energy sources like wind and solar, which doesn't work. It's interesting that during the tribulation period, one of the plagues is that no wind blows across the earth. That's not going to do very well for windmills, will it? According to a Eurostat, or to Eurostat, the EU, European Union annual energy inflation hit 27% in 2022. Annual inflation means it went up 27% in 1 year. That means a $300 energy bill now is going to be $360. Whew. Imagine that's going to be every year. Like Bjorn Lomborg, who's a Danish political science and environmental economist, believes that climate change is man-made. He says that, but he says we are not in an existential threat, as many are saying, but that practical rather than radical steps can be taken to mitigate the process. And Europe is starting to go the other way after finding out of the unreliability and expense of, quote, green energy. So we have all these things going on. We've got the hatred against Israel. We've got the United Nations coming against Israel. We've got the alliances that are going on with not only Iran, with Hezbollah and Hamas, but we've also got the Russia and Iran and Turkey, their alliance, again, back to Ezekiel 38. But we also have the World Health Organization, or better known as WHO, they are trying to get a pandemic agreement signed by as many nations as they can get. The United States under the Biden administration has agreed to sign it. The Trump administration says they wouldn't. If they have a pandemic, for those that are a part of this pandemic agreement, it gives the WHO, the WHO, World Health Organization, total control over national health policy during that pandemic. In other words, they call the shots totally. They want a complete lockdown, they can do it. They want to make vaccines mandatory, they can do it. They have complete control. Now, thankfully, the agreement has been finalized yet. But again, the current administration, the Biden administration, says they'll sign it. And I've also learned that they have started actually vaccinations for the bird flu in Finland. Now, this was from a June 27th article in a news service called Newser. It's quoting a report from Reuters. It says, Finland hasn't reported a single case of bird flu in humans yet, but the country isn't taking any chances. The country has become the first to roll out a vaccination campaign for workers at risk of infection, especially those at mink farms, reports Reuters. And notice that this is starting to ramp up. We're going to see this bird flu thing start happening, I believe, in more countries. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But that's how the last so-called pandemic, or as many call it, a plandemic, started. Remember, it started very small, started in China, and then it just spread everywhere. And of course, we had the lockdowns. It wasn't that long ago. We can all remember what was taking place. You couldn't even go, they closed churches down. Of course, that got pushed back because of the First Amendment, but they said that churches weren't essential businesses. And so they had big box stores, Home Depot, Costco, and all other places. They had pot shops open. They had liquor stores open, but not churches. And so that we can see this happen again. And notice again, it's at the time of a presidential election. And I believe the pandemic with the COVID thing was very much used in the sham of the last presidential election, 2022. And so look what we're seeing now. And this is starting to come up. we have a presidential election in 5 months. So we'll see how it all turns out, but it's rather interesting timing. The next thing we have, which is an indication of the Lord's soon return, is morality. Again, go back to abortions. They've not declined since the overturning of Roe v. Wade in America. They just sent the issue of abortion to the states to legislate it. And of course, the Democrat Party is using this as a big issue in the upcoming elections. The Democrat Party has four elections all the way up to birth and some post-birth. And just go look at their party platform. Look at what they've stood for in the past. They want total and complete unrestricted abortion. That is the killing of a child. The other thing we have that's in the morality standpoint is drugs. The word in Greek for sorcery and for witchcraft is pharmakia, which is, of course, pharmacy, drugs, right? And more states in our country have legalized marijuana. And as of April 2024, recreational marijuana is legal in 24 states, which is almost half our country. The push to legalize psychedelic drugs like psilocybin, comes on mushrooms, magic mushrooms, or things like that, was approved in Colorado. And they want sweeping drug reforms and basically adding more and more drugs to the legal list. And drugs are akin to demonic works. It's interesting that in the book of Revelation, it says this in Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. After some plagues come and hit the earth and horrific things are done, or you know, God's wrath is being poured out. That's what the tribulation is. That's why the church won't be here, because the tribulation is the wrath of God being poured out on the earth, on an unbelieving world. And God does not judge the righteous with the wicked. Just ask Abraham about that with Sodom and Gomorrah. Anyway, this is what it says in Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. And they did not repent of their murderers or their sorceries, pharmakia, or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And all those things are going on right today. Murders are just commonplace. Sorceries, drug use is commonplace. Sexual immorality is commonplace. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. And thefts is commonplace. We have this huge problem of people going into stores and just taking anything they want, walking out the door. Nobody stops them. And also, again, Greek word for sorcery and witchcraft is pharmakia. Again, it's demonic. It opens the door for demonic influence. And so that's why when people start taking this stuff, they want nothing to do with God. So that's another area that we're seeing increasing usage. And then we have probably the biggest area that we see as far as the morality issue of what's going on, the breaking of God's laws, the LGBTQ plus group. They're pushing their agenda and they are inculcating school-aged children. It's interesting in Axios, Politics and Policy, they did a survey of Gen Zers. And about a quarter, almost 25%, identify themselves as LGBTQ plus. I would put the plus in there. And they found out that bisexuality is the most common form of the LGBTQ group. And most are identified among women. Well, gay and bisexuality are most common among men. Gen Zers, which are those born between 1997 and 2012, are far more likely to identify as LGBTQ than any other generation. Almost 3 in 10, or 28% of Gen Z women, identify as LGBTQ. In comparison, 12.4% of millennial women, the generation before that, and 4.7% of the Generation X women, the generation before that, identify as non-heterosexual. 1 in 10, or 10.6% Gen Z men, identify as LGBTQ, roughly double the percent of millennial men. And so we're seeing this proliferation of this whole lifestyle, or sin. It's sin that the God of the Bible calls an abomination. And it's interesting that we read it earlier in Matthew chapter 4, verse 37. Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So what were the days of Noah like? Well, we can go back to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and we're told that, what it was like. And it reads this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So everybody was just into wicked stuff in a huge majority. That's what we see happening today. It's interesting that in Luke chapter 17, verse 28, Jesus, talking about the last days, says this, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And remember what happened with Lot. Lot was living in Sodom. And some angels came to Sodom to get him and his family out. Actually, they came originally to see if it was as bad as it was. Of course, they already knew. And then to get Lot and his family out. Because, as I said before, God will not judge the righteous with the unrighteous. Go back and look at Genesis chapter 18, 19, and 20. And Abraham actually kind of argued with God about, will you judge the righteous with the unrighteous? What if there's, yeah, I think he started with 50 and got all the way down to 10. God said, there's 10 righteous people. I'll spare the city for the sake of 10 righteous people. Well, there weren't 10 righteous people. There was only Lot and his two daughters and his wife, if you want to include her, but she ended up turning into a pillar of salt. But so these angels come, and they're originally going to sleep in the square. Lot says, no, come into my house. And it says that every man of the city came and pounded on Lot's door and said, send those men out so that we can have sex with them. They were going to gang rape these two men. They were angels, yeah, but they were, you know, they looked like men. They were going to gang rape these two men. And that's how perverse that whole place had become. And we're seeing this perversion go on in our country now. We don't need to know all the details of what the wicked do, but they are pretty darn wicked. And the details of what, just the simple things of what you know, is really, really bad. But see, Sodom and Gomorrah had rampant homosexuality, but it was actually more rampant bisexuality. These guys had wives, they had children, but they were still engaging in sex with the same sex, men with men. Now, some want to say that the sin of Sodom was just inhospitality because of a passage in Luke. Well, okay, pretty inhospitable to go gang rape some people that come to here, come to your town. But look what it says in Jude 7. It actually gets more defined. And you know, I love how the Bible clears things up. See, God knew that people would come out and try to say this. Well, you know, the sin of Sodom wasn't homosexuality. Oh, yes, it was. Look at Jude 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So this whole raising up, this proliferation of the LGBTQ, which stands for lesbian, gay, bi, and trans, and Q is, I guess, whatever, queer, I think is what they say. So this proliferation is part of the end times. And of course, in Seattle today, they just had a big, what they call gay pride parade down in downtown Seattle. And of course, they have declared, I don't know who made the declaration, but it's supposed to be, quote, gay pride month in the month of June. It used to be marriage month. Who declared it that? I don't recall any Congress passing a law saying this is gay pride month now. And it's always been a perversity that has been looked upon only up until recent times. And God condemns homosexuality in all its forms, male to male, female to female. He calls it an abomination, Old Testament, New Testament. And this sin is being promoted within our government and in many of the governments of the world. In fact, Thailand became the first government in Southeast Asia to legalize same-sex marriage. That would happen on June 1st this year. And of course, the sin is being promoted commercially with all these businesses having their colors and their products and things like that to support this LGBTQ sin and its agenda. And it is an agenda. It went from just leave us alone to be able to practice our preference to special minority status. It went from same-sex marriage to child adoption. It went from trans athletes to the inculcation and sterilization of our children. Did you know that when a young person or anybody goes through and gets, and if they're a male, to try to go become a female, which you can't do. Remember, every cell of our body says whether we're male or female. We're either XY chromosome, which is a male, or XX chromosome, which is a female. Every cell of our body has that in it. But once you go through that process, once you get your body altered, you're sterilized. You're sterile. You can never have children. And so these children that are getting pushed into these surgeries and drugs and things like that, it's sterilizing them. But the LGBTQ plus group will not stop pushing their perversity. They will go as far as they are allowed. And sadly, our country, our world has just allowed this to proliferate. Again, it's part of the perversity. It's part of the end time scenario. You go back 50 years, the thought of same-sex marriage would laugh you right out of the place. Yeah, you had homosexuality. It's been around a long time, but it's the acceptance of that and the promotion of it. Again, the giving up of marriage, the redefinition of marriage was a huge thing. Again, it tells us of a signs of the time. And what this is what God says about people who participate in this sin. This is from Romans chapter 1, verse 28. I encourage you to read all of Romans chapter 1 and put it in its proper perspective or proper context. But this is what it says. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. This is God's description of those who engage in homosexual sin. This is what happens to a person. This is their mindset and practice after God gives them over to a depraved mind. Now remember, everybody that's involved in this sin has a way out. And that way is the same way for all sinners. That's through Jesus Christ. Because of the price Jesus Christ paid on the cross. He died for the sin of homosexuality. He died for the sin of sexual immorality. He died for the sin of pharmakia. He died for all sin. And the great thing is that Jesus Christ offers new life. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Praise the Lord. And as we studied last week, actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, after it goes through this big list, one of them being homosexuality, saying they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It says, and that is what some of you were. Past tense were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Again, praise the Lord. And the gospel and we who share the gospel are the homosexual, the lesbian, the transgender, the bisexual, the queer's best friend. You know why? Because we can show them the way out, and that way out is Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. You know, we're all born sinners. Every one of us is born a sinner. But the great thing is we don't need to stay that way. We can come to Jesus and we can be transformed. And so if you're here today and you're listening to this message and God is speaking to your heart, maybe you're involved in some of these sins that I've talked about. Again, like I said before, maybe you've had an abortion and you know your heart is hurting from it. Maybe you're engaged in this sin of homosexuality and you think there's no way out. Maybe you're involved in pharmakia, you're using drugs and so forth, and you don't think you can stop. Well, you can't. But through Jesus, you can. You can of yourself. You need to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And tonight, Jesus, or today, whenever you're watching this program, Jesus is offering you that option. The choice is yours. The Bible tells us that Jesus stands at the door of our lives and he knocks and he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me, or she with me. In other words, there'll be a relationship that God wants to have with you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to forgive you of your sin. He paid for that sin on the cross, but you need to apprehend it into your life. And you do that by receiving Jesus into your life, by opening that door. And then to have him as your Lord, to put him in the driver's seat of your life, and to follow him from this day forward. And you know what? God knows the best way to live because he's God. He created us. He calls things sin because it's destructive to us, the society we live in, or both. That's why he calls it sin. Yeah, sin can have its pleasure, but it's only for a season. And when the season's over, look out. But the great thing is we're told that the road to eternal life goes on forever. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says the day of righteousness is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. In other words, when it comes to Jesus, it just gets better and better. So I'm encouraging you, come to Jesus today. Pray this prayer if that's your desire. Meet it sincerely, and he'll come in. He'll transform your life for the better. It doesn't matter what sin it is. Maybe it's murder. Maybe you just go through the host of them. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to transform. He's willing to give you a life that God has intended for you to live all since he created you. Pray this prayer if that's your desire. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I accept your death on the cross as payment for them. I ask you now to come into my life. I open that door that you've been knocking on. And I invite you to come in and to have a relationship with me. And also, Lord, to sit on the throne of my life that I might follow you from this day forward. And I willingly, Lord, turn from areas of sin I'm involved in now and I turn to follow you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer tonight or today, it's night here now, know that he heard you. And it's a prayer he will always answer. So if you prayed that prayer, maybe send us an email or give us a phone call or something like that. We'd love to encourage you and help you on that path of following Jesus. It's the best path, and it just gets better and better all the way into eternity. When you follow Jesus, you have a bright future ahead. And if you don't, you don't. So, well, until next week, and we'll continue this on next week. We've got one more week of talking about where possibly the United States is in biblical prophecy. Till next week, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.